And welcome to the Prince George of Cougars CAT Scan podcast. Carter Rigby is an assistant coach with the PG Cougars. And Carter, year number four for you with the PG Cougars. You have to feel awful fortunate. Since you've joined the team, the club has had lots of success. And, you know, before you got there, there were some lean years. So you arrived at a really good time.
Yeah, I think when I first, was fortunate enough to get the call from Mark, now going on 4 years ago, to come up and join the team. At the time, it was with Mark and Josh Dixon, two coaches that had previously coached me, and kind of get my foot in the door, you know, talking with Mark. It was a good time to join the league and get on with PG here and kind of get things going in the right direction. And, you know, Mark's done a tremendous job over the last how many of years Mark's been here to, you know, with the scouting staff to recruit and draw some talent into town. And I was just a beneficiary for sure of stepping at the right time and now being fortunate enough, with Mark and Jim Playfair now on board too. But like you said, pretty lucky to come to work every day with two guys that have been at the NHL level and, you know, are wanting to give back to not just the players too, but as a young coach myself and help develop me too. So, you know, pretty fortunate, at the end of the day, timing's everything, and I definitely feel like I won in that department.
You played in the BCHL a little bit, you played in the WHL, then I think, you had the ECHL, so you were a player and, you know, a brief appearance in Prince George, and, you know, then you went on to the Kelowna Rockets. But after your hockey playing days, as a young guy, you got into coaching and even had a head coaching job there with the Soyuz.
Yeah, when I was finished done, a little bit of a pro career and went on to try the university thing, didn't really pan out, went off and played some senior hockey, was fortunate to win an Allen Cup there and came home and didn't really know what I was going to do. I was 22 years old. My dad and my mom owned a small glass company in Penticton. Figured I was just going to, start working for dad and help out coaching Summerland in the KIJHL and tried to get my foot in the door in coaching. Was coaching Summerland for 3 years, didn't really know what to expect, just kind of getting my foot in the door into that side of things. And, was fortunate enough, to spend 3 years there as an assistant coach and then get an opportunity down this year as a head coach for a few years. So, really good level to get your feet wet and develop in that sense as well. And
so you talked about, being, an assistant. You talked about being, head coach. But I guess there's really nothing that can duplicate playing hockey that, if you can't play, the next best thing is coaching, correct?
Yeah, I guess it's the old saying, if you can't play, you coach. If you can't play, you ref. So I wasn't going to dip inside of the ref department. So like I said, it's all you know. You grow up, you're playing your whole life. You're used to that routine of the winter time and going through the grind. And it was just an easy transition to get back into the game and be a part of a team and a group, atmosphere. And, fortunate enough now to make it a full-time job, not just a part-time thing.
Talk about going from being a head coach at a lower level to an assistant coach at a higher level. I imagine because when you're a head coach, you get to control things, you make the final decision. As an assistant coach, especially with the experience of Mark Lamb and Jim Playfair, you do contribute lots. However, it's not the final say. Talk about the difference there.
Yeah, I think, getting the opportunity to be a head coach at a young age in junior hockey was good for me in a sense that, especially at that level too, there was a lot of the GM side of things, recruiting, the trades and whatnot. So got to really get my feet wet in a lot of different areas of the game and, fortunate enough that it was, a lower level where it wasn't going to make or break your career in a sense. Learn lots in that department of a head coach and then stepping on board here as an assistant coach. You don't have a final say in lots and, there's reasons for that obviously with Mark and Jim ahead of me, but, they're very, very good at letting me kind of voice my opinion and take my opinion into consideration, whether it be players, practice, travel, whatever the case may be. I really feel that, and why we've had success is starting with our coaching group and just being as tight as we are. It doesn't matter if you've been at the NHL level for 30 years or, just getting your feet wet in the junior department. It's everybody takes everybody's opinion into consideration and thoughts, and that there isn't really yes, there's a hierarchy, but it's, you know, I definitely don't feel like I'm, you know, low man on the totem pole for most things. Mark and Jim do a great job at, you know, including me in all decisions made, and, you know, feel as, you know, now getting my fourth year, getting a little bit more opportunity into understanding, you know, what it's like behind the scenes for Mark too in the GM side. So it's, you know, it's been a great, you know, slow burn to learn here at the Western League of what goes into an everyday preparation for practice, for travel, for games. But yeah, just trying to be open ears at all times in the Spuds, you know, fortunate enough to sit 2 feet away from Jimmy and 5 away from Mark every day. And just to hear the conversations between them two or between them and scouts or whoever they might be talking to that day in the office or on the phone, and just trying to pick up, you know, what I can. You know, a lot of times for Mark and Jim, you know, Mark's been doing this quite a bit longer than Jim. I think we all learn from each other and aspects of the game, and we all make each other better. So just trying to stay in my lane, do what I can, focus on, you know, the tasks at hand that are my job, and then, you know, just try to learn and pick up, you know, on the other side of things, whether it's Jimmy's PK and his defensive teaching to Mark's power play teaching and kind of how he, you know, manages a team. So just trying to be open eyes and ears to, you know, all aspects of this job for sure.
How is Mark different? Because you played for him when you were a player. He was the coach. Now you work alongside him. Is there two different aspects to Mark Lamb? And if so, just go to give us an analysis of the difference.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you talk with your players, and, you know, it's not very often you can sit there as a coach and say, guys, I played for Mark and know his tendencies, and you know, now being a coach for him too, it's pretty cool to see both sides of things. And, you know, I think Lammer's done an unbelievable job in the last, you know, 10, 15 years of him at junior hockey at adapting to, you know, the kids and where things are at. You look at his own son, Hunter, now being a part of our group too, but, you know, Hunter going through junior hockey and Mark dealing with a lot of the same age kids as his own son, and vice versa with Jim too, obviously being through it with his own boys at this level too. But I think with Mark, it's, you know, he's done such a good job at developing over the years. I think, you know, a lot of times at junior hockey, coaches just want to win and move on, and, you know, selfishly enough, everybody wants to get to the NHL for sure, but we're at this level for a reason. It's developing, you know, all aspects of players and coaches, and, you know, Mark's done a great job with that. You look at, you know, the 20-year-olds that have signed, you know, the last handful of years here in this group, and, you know, coaching staff that he's bringing in, he does such a good job, and his patience and procedure with things, I don't think changes, you know, from year to year. It's still about development. It's still making sure your young guys are, you know, getting enough minutes and learning to, you know, come 18, 19, 20, they're effective players in our league. And I think he's a very fair coach. I think, you know, he uses his resources very well and, you know, his networking things to help out our players. And but at the same time, knows when to, you know, give it to guys, but also back off. And it's that fine line of, you know, pushing too hard and just hard enough. And, you know, it's a little bit of yin and yang with Mark and Jim with their group too. So I think, you know, for the most part, you know, our group's kind of all tailored to, you know, Jimmy's got his side of things. Mark's a little bit more patient, you know, on the development side of things. And, you know, I kind of come in the back door and try to support both of them wherever I can on and on the ice. And for the most part, be there for the guys and just a sounding board for not just our guys, but our coaches too, to bounce ideas off of so that we're all on the same page.
Carter Rigby is an assistant coach with the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to the Cougars CatScan podcast. There's a lot more than meets the eye being an assistant coach with the Prince George Cougars. It's not just that you're standing behind the bench during games and helping run practices. There's a lot of other duties that go with it. I'd like you to tell the Cougar faithful exactly what your duties are.
My duties. Well, a couple big ones obviously would be, you know, the travel. And we travel lots up here. You know, so you're responsible for 30 to, you know, depending on the time of year, 35 people, you know, getting down the road and heading south, east, west, wherever we're going, and, you know, booking hotels, making sure that our guys are fed well. And, you know, we definitely treat our boys well in a sense of, you know, traveling and staying at good places, and ownership gives us, you know, all the resources and able to, you know, make sure these guys are being fed well and the dollars are there so that they're, you know, well taken care of. So, you know, we try to give our guys 5-6 options every meal to eat. I know, you know, some teams in the league, or when I even playing, everybody eat the same thing. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. Everyone's on different, whether it's diets, workout programs. Some guys need more carbs and fats than others, and some guys need more, you know, veggies and healthy stuff. So just, you know, try to make sure that the players feel heard, make sure that I'm doing everything in my power. You know, if a kid's got to put on some weight or drop some weight, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm altering their meals to where, you know, they're going to have some success on and off the ice. You know, booking the hotels is, you know, a challenge at times, especially with their schedule and you're on the road for 2 weeks at a time. You're trying to fill some open holes and spots for your guys to have some fun on the road and let loose a little bit, but at the same time, you know, keep things dialed. So two things that I would, you know, mostly deal with. I tag team the billet coordinating, you know, throughout the year with Taylor Dakers and Bev upstairs. They do a great job of kind of organizing stuff. And the homes that we meet in the summertime, and I'll come in and kind of start placing kids into homes. But, you know, those would be the three kind of off-base things that I look after throughout the year on top of the coaching side of things.
And with the billets, you have to make sure their home is right. It's a good fit. Do you have to tell the billets about curfews, or are there, what are the details that are involved there when you do have a billet family?
Yeah, so we'll kind of digest after the season's done. And, you know, like I said, Taylor and Bev kind of handle the stuff in the summertime, but they'll throw an email out and just make sure we got, you know, enough billets for the following year. And if there's places that we got to go check out, obviously not every billet house, you know, is the same. So we got to go have a peek at the billets and, you know, do the background checks and make sure that, you know, the bedrooms, the bathrooms and the situations, you know, fit for our guys here at the Western League. And, yeah, well, it's actually funny enough to say that we got our billet meeting tonight with everybody, so that'll be good to, for everybody just put some faces to names and for some of the staff to meet the new billets that are on board. We got a few this year, which is great. So, yeah, you kind of give them the rundown and, you know, when curfew is and what's expected, you know, of the billets and of the players. And for the most part, it's, you know, we're thankful for these families to, you know, be opening their homes to these young men. And, you know, it's their house at the end of the day. So I always say, you know, you treat it like you would at your mom and dad's house. And, you know, if you're expected or asked to, you know, take out the garbage or do the dishes, you're expected to do that and be a part of the billet family. Having played and gone through it and through different billet houses, you kind of get a grasp on kind of what to expect. My family billeted for many, many years in Penticton as well. So you kind of know what it's like, and you just try to relay that on to the kids that are maybe first time billeting and on what to expect and what you're, you know, supposed to do. And, yeah, just try to make sure everyone's, you know, on the same page. And at the end of the day, just be an open line of communication for the billets and the players. And, you know, not every situation is going to fit perfectly, but you do the best you can to make it work for the player and the billet families and get through the season together.
You are early 30s, but the other two coaches are early 60s. So do some of the players that are still teenagers, you know, would they feel a little bit more comfortable sometimes going to you? Does that age come into it that, you know, I mean, you're not of hockey age, but you're certainly a lot closer than Jim and Mark, or does that not come into it at all?
No, I don't think it comes into it to a sense. I think, you know, having good people around and Mark and Jim being very good people, these kids know that, yes, they're, you know, possibly older than their parents are, but, you know, it's a common goal and they're there for them and they care for them. But I think naturally, for sure, it's, you know, probably a little bit easier to come to me at 31 than Mark and Jim and, you know, try to share my thoughts and opinions on whatever situation or problems at hand. You know, having gone through the league, having played for Mark, you know, I think there's a lot of insight here that I'm, you know, a benefit to for the kids for that reason. And just like I said, just a little bit maybe easier to come and talk to. It's, you know, it's Mark being a GM and a head coach that could be obviously intimidating for a young player. I completely understand that, but in that situation and obviously the, you know, the status of Mark and Jim too with their NHL experience, you know, at times maybe the kids feel like it feels like a dumb question if they're going to ask them, you know, compared to coming and ask me. So I definitely, you know, really enjoy that side of coaching. And I feel that relationships is kind of the next wave of coaching that, you know, I think Mark and Jim have done a tremendous job at understanding, you know, young men. And we look at the world today and how it's changed and, you know, the game's changed in the 10, 15 years that I've been out of junior hockey. So just trying to be relatable with the kids, be there for them, and answer any questions that they have. But for sure, it's, you know, naturally you're going to probably gravitate towards, you know, somebody a little bit younger at times. And, you know, I'm thankful I'm in a position to be able to do that and help these kids out with whatever it is on or off the ice questions they have and personal issues. It's, you know, you look at these kids, they're from 16 to 20 years old, and you look at, you know, some of them in high school, some of them with, you know, whether it's girlfriends or family issues or car issues or something, there's, you know, a lot that goes on a day-to-day basis with, you know, kids these age. And I just try to be there and support them in whatever capacity I can be.
What do you guys as a coaching staff do between periods? The three of you get together and have a discussion among the three of you? Do you go and talk with the players between, you know, periods? What happens with the Prince George Cougars coaching staff between periods?
Yeah, we'll go in and look at video and some stuff that maybe we saw or didn't get a clean look at. Obviously, if there's some power plays or penalty kills, we'll pull those up and digest those and look at if there's any, you know, tweaks or adjustments we have to make throughout periods and look at chances, et cetera. But yeah, for the most part, a quick video session and, you know, conversation between the three of us and kind of what we see and what we feel. And then, yeah, we ultimately take that into the dressing room with the players before we go back on the ice, and Mark gives the message or Jim gives the message on, you know, whatever we want to change or accomplish and refocus on, you know, the task at hand and get out there and perfect it. So, you know, it's constantly, you know, you're changing stuff, you're looking at adjustments and trying to get that upper hand. So the communication's got to be there. And like I said, with how tight our group is, you know, not just the three of us, but our whole group and our leadership group, it's constant communication on some adjustments or tinkering throughout the game.
There are wins to enjoy. There are losses that, you know, will suffer. The team is off to another good start, winning more than they have lost. Now, having said that and trying to put things into perspective, for regular season, and I emphasize regular season, was the Kelowna loss the most frustrating that you have seen in the manner that it happened when it looked like an empty net goal could get you the win? It didn't happen. Then it looked like there was going to be overtime and it didn't happen. And you ended up getting zero when it looked like at the worst you would come out with 1 point. You should have come out with two. Now there's more loss. There's more difficult losses than just regular losses. But was that one that will sort of stick out as like, wow, I've never seen that before?
Yeah, well, it obviously stings, but it's a learning lesson for sure for our whole group. And you know, just having that killer mentality of, you know, yes, you're still up one. And, you know, I completely see and understand where Tarek's coming from. You know, he's had Riley Hite throw him those a million times over in his draft year and help him out. And that's, you know, that goes to how tight of a group we are and we care for each other. And, you know, it's a mistake that I guarantee probably won't happen again this time of year. We definitely won't be posting or looking to pass up on empty net chances for sure at that. But yeah, I think you're going to say that one stings the most. But every loss does. You look at even, you know, on Sunday's game there, only playing 20 of a 60-minute game. You know, those ones hurt too. And you wonder why you go up there in the third and play like you did and you wish you could have started like that. But I think it was every loss and every win. There's obviously things that are, you know, you can take away, good and bad. And I think, you know, what makes a good team is just how you rebound and refocus. And I thought after Wednesday's stinger there, I thought we came out, you know, flying there on the Saturday with the shots and the pressure that we put on. And, you know, ultimately we were able to, you know, hang on to that one. And, you know, it kind of roles reversed on the Sunday. We had a slow start and ended up kind of coming back in the later half of the game, sorry, into that third period. But I think, yeah, for sure that one, for this season at least, that one will be the biggest stinger.
How good are the Prince George Cougars? I know when I had an earlier podcast with Jim Playfair, he says the goal is to get to Kelowna in the spring. And, you know, he's very clear about that. And he says anything less of a goal, we're sort of cheating everybody. And I said, well, it's a different kind of a team and everything like that. Well, his expectations don't change. And I imagine you're going to say the same, as to get that goal would be the same. But realistically, in your view, how good are these Prince George Cougars?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, as good as our weakest link. And I think, you know, we're definitely more of a team style this season. We don't have, you know, one or two guys that, you know, we're going to lean on to be that offensive threat or those, you know, game killers and changers. I think honestly, when we're playing four lines in 6D and we're making D turn and we're using our forecheck, I think we're up there with anybody in the league, and there's no reason why we shouldn't have a goal to be there in May 21st in Kelowna. And I think if you start the season and you kind of hope for a 500 or to reach the playoffs, I just don't think that goes far for your group. And the ultimate goal, yeah, it would be, you know, May 21st. Now, we don't want to look, you know, too far down the line, and I'm not sitting here saying we're the best team in the league and we're expected to be there by any means, but I definitely think that if, you know, we're playing our game and our system, we stick to that for 60 minutes and, you know, compete as a group night in and night out, I don't see why we wouldn't be in that conversation for sure. You look at our goaltending with the two guys we have back there that are going to give us a chance every night. You look at the D core that's now, you know, gotten a little bit older, and you throw a captaincy on Dumanski, who plays the right way night in and night out, and, you know, young players like Carson that are making their way up. And then I think, you know, you look at our forward group, we have a great balance of, you know, the top six that likes to be skilled and shifty, but also competes. And then we got a bottom group that, you know, are solid role guys that know their role and are big and tough and physical. And I think at the end of the day, you know, like I said, a team, I've kind of said this a few times now, kind of our working class, you know, mentality this season is we're not going to win games 7-2, 8-2 every night like we have been, you know, fortunate enough the last few years. We're going to win those 3-2 games, those 4-2 games. And I really do believe that, you know, when we're on, and, you know, the league's so much different this year too, and there's so many new players, so we're still trying to get a grasp on, you know, what every team's got, and new guys slide in and out. But I do think that for sure when we're playing our team game and our structure and we're turning D and getting on the forecheck, that, you know, we're going to be a team that's going to be hard to beat every night.
I think early on, though, there has been a little bit more firepower, more scoring than many expected. I thought there would be a lot of 2-1, a 3-2 kind of decisions, and there have been some, but for the most part, the team has been averaging 4 goals or more per game, so it is spread around, but there seems to be a little bit more firepower than what looks like on paper.
Yeah, I think going into the season, everybody kind of didn't know what to expect with Cohen gone and Riley gone, and, you know, those two are kind of carrying the offense for, you know, the last 3-4 years, and you know, they continue to do it throughout their career. So you look at our group, and yeah, that first weekend against Portland, we put up numbers, but not everybody's back. You look at Portland's roster, they had a very young core that were, you know, in front of their goalie, and, you know, we were fortunate enough to jump on them and take advantage of that. But I think as the league settles in here and everybody starts to figure out, you know, who's who and, you know, who's new in the lineup, and, you know, a lot of the BCHL guys that have come over and, you know, adds a lot of depth to your group. I think it's, you know, there's going to be some great parity in the league, and it's going to be every night, you know, a tough team to beat. And, you know, we've stated this every year, there's no easy team. It's a Western League for a reason. But I think now, even with just the depth that every team has seemed to get, you know, from their BCHL guys, their college protected list, now with the rules being as open as they are, I think that, you know, there's going to be games for sure throughout the year that, you know, you're going to win by 4 or 5. But I think for the most part, honestly, you know, stuff will settle down here and there'll be, you know, hard fought games through and through. But, you know, in saying that, we have firepower. I mean, we have a first rounder, 17th overall for a reason, that scored a lot of goals in this league. And, you know, he'll be heavily counted on for sure to carry a lot of our offense. But, no, we'll be a group that will score by committee, I think, for sure this year. And I think, you know, the first, you know, a few weeks here into the season, you're seeing that it's not one or two guys. It's spread out in the front end and on the back end and special teams as well. So it'll be exciting to see kind of who rises to the challenge and who kind of grows our offensive game to be that guy. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, still early in the season and kids are still trying to find the chemistry and, you know, see where they fit things. So it'll be exciting to see kind of as we get going here and as the season, you know, grows on to, like I said, who kind of takes that challenge and takes that step in their game to work on the offensive side and then be rewarded for it.
And I think your point bears out just by those two games with the Tri-City. They came in with one win, you came in with one loss, and, you know, you dominated the first 10 minutes of the first game. But overall, after that, there really wasn't much to choose between the teams, and they got a pretty young roster, and that sort of bears out what you've been saying about where the competitiveness is in this league.
Yeah, for sure. I think any team, the worst thing you can do, and it's human nature for sure, especially as a young player, is to look at that standing board before you play a team, and you maybe think it's going to be point night or something, but you know, the one thing about hockey that you know, is good is it's humbling. It kind of puts you back into place when you think you're getting too high. It brings you back down to reality when you know you're fighting things. You need a bounce or a hockey god to help you out, and then you're right back on track. So I think that's the biggest thing here, is just coming to every game, acting like a pro, preparing like it's the same game every game, and getting consistent results. And that's probably the toughest thing for kids this age, is just that consistency night in, night out. It's no different than showing up to practice. You know, we're not on the ice for an hour just to get through the hour. We're on the ice for an hour to learn and to get better and grow your game. So every team's got good coaching and good young talent, and you see it across the league. So there's definitely no easy night here.
Carter Rigby is an assistant coach of the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to the Cougars Cat Scan podcast. We talked about, this is your fourth year with the Cougars. Where are you at now as a coach compared to when you arrived in a PG? Give us the difference. It's obvious knowledge, but give us some details as to what you feel you have learned that maybe you didn't quite get when you arrived.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just working, coming to work every day, and you know, there isn't really any slow days. There's obviously lots that can be done, and you know, lots of preparation. You know, coming from Junior B to the Western League, you know, at the Junior B level, I coached on my past experiences. There wasn't a ton of preparation. It was a lot of motivating and recruiting in that sense, and you know, not a lot of ton of video work at that level, you know, when I was there, and just mostly trying to, you know, internally motivate your guys to push them. And I think at this level, with how good everybody is, you have to be detailed in your preparation. You got to make sure that these kids, you know what the opposition's going to bring every night, their tendencies. And I think quite a few things is just being, like we talked about at the very start of this, with fortunately with Mark and Jim, is just their knowledge for sure, but just the X and O's and the details, and you know, reading your group, kind of knowing when they need an off day, knowing when you got to push, knowing when you got to kind of lay off the reins a little bit. And you know, we could sit here for hours and, you know, go through each and every little thing that I've picked up from Mark and Jim. But you know, for the most part, it's just showing up to work every day, taking care of yourself, you know, first and foremost, making sure that you're mentally and physically prepared. And you know, at the end of the day, if you're not prepared, these kids can sniff it out pretty quick. So you got to be on top of your game too, in order for them to earn your trust. And then, you know, if you want the best out of them, you got to bring the best to yourself. So I think it's a great mix that these kids have pushed, you know, into me to get better on and off the ice. And, you know, it's fun for sure. But yeah, just the little details and preparation of everyday work, you know, really no days off. Yeah, you have your summertime to, you get some downtime and recharge, but you know, when it comes to the season, nothing trumps the team, and you know, whatever it takes for the group, you're expected to do.
Are there things you do as a coaching staff on the bus after games, or going down for trips, or sometimes you just have to unwind and not have your mind on the game, or is it, you know, right after you just, you know, get on there? What happens on those bus trips for the coaches?
Yeah, well, you'll get the game, you know, thankfully we get the game cut down for us. So you'll go through the game after and, you know, look at some stuff. Obviously if there's back-to-back nights, you're kind of, you know, watching your game and digesting that quick and moving on to preparation for the next team. But if, you know, especially when it's, you know, most times the coaches or teams, sorry, come up here, we're getting back-to-back. So yeah, you digest the game after, you talk about it as a staff, you look at some things maybe you want to change, and then we kind of get a good night's sleep, wake up for coffee in the morning, and then we'll kind of digest on our thoughts and, you know, what we thought about the night before. But yeah, for the most part, after a game, you get on the bus and it's, you know, get your meal in you and get your computer set up, cut the game and go through kind of what you need for, you know, that night. And you sleep on a lot of your thoughts and you get back to it first thing in the morning and start kind of adjusting and chatting with the coaching staff on some changes maybe we want to make or not, and go from there. But we find so much at this level, it's such a quick turnaround. You got to have a short memory and put that one past you and move on to the next one.
If you were a stranger and you got onto the PG Cougars bus, let's say 10 minutes after the game ended, the players are all on the bus, the coaches are all on the bus, would that stranger be able to know whether the Cougars won or lost?
I guess it depends for sure. I mean, after a loss, things are pretty quiet and guys are, you know, pretty upset or, you know, pissed off with their play or whatever happened in the game. And yeah, when things are going well and you get a good win, it's probably a little bit more lively for sure. It depends on the game. I don't think you could say yes for sure. You notice the change between a win or a loss. There's games that you could lose in overtime and you played, you know, your heart out all game and you lost. And it's, you know, not the end of the world after that when you still collected the points and you move on. But for the most part, yeah, you could probably tell if there was a win or a loss just on the feeling on that bus when you walk on. Yeah.
What about your future now? You are, as you mentioned, 31. You want to coach for a long period of time. You're in a good position right now as an assistant coach. However, you wouldn't be normal if you didn't have higher expectations and aspirations. Where do you see yourself at 35? Where do you see yourself at 40? Where do you want to get to? What would be the next kind of a job to move into?
Yeah, I think there's so many different roles, and I'm finding out at this level now as you kind of work your way up. And you know, the ultimate goal is to get to the NHL in some capacity. And, you know, ultimately that would be coaching for sure. But I think at this level, you know, learning lots about, you know, the scouting side, the GM side, the coaching side, there's so many different avenues that, you know, I'm finding past players that I've, you know, played with, the friends that have found their way in the NHL in different roles and, you know, just gotten their foot in the door. And, but yeah, ultimately I want to be, you know, a coach in the NHL level. And, I don't want to look too far beyond that. And that's why it was, you know, really important for me, I thought, to re-sign here in PG and just get another, you know, few years under my belt with Mark and Jim just to learn as much as I can. And, you know, hopefully I get the opportunity to move to a, you know, associate coach and then into a head coach at this level and, you know, see where the cards fall after that and hopefully, you know, make the jump to pro hockey. But, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, looking the day in the eye and taking it for what it is and not trying to think too much, you know, beyond that and just be focused in the present with, you know, my work ethic and what I can bring to a group every day and take that and whatever, you know, comes at me, I deal with. And, yeah, there's goals for sure. But at the same time, I want to stay focused and present in the moment that I'm in and learn as much as I can at this level, because as much as, yeah, it's year four, you know, every day it still feels like you're learning new things that you haven't picked up on or you missed. So just trying to, I don't think you're ever going to perfect a role, but trying to learn as much as I can at this, you know, position as an assistant coach. And, you know, naturally you would be moved into an associate and a head coach if that's how the progression goes. But, you know, for the most part, I just want to make sure I'm surrounding myself with good people and a winning organization and learn as much as I can and you know, not be too quick to jump and move places. I want to, you know, establish myself. And there was, you know, no place, honestly, I'd rather be than back up here to re-sign. And when I heard that Mark and Jim are all on board too, it was a no-brainer for myself to come back. And in saying that, I understand that maybe the coaching development side of things maybe isn't as, you know, progressive as if I was, you know, with different coaching staff, maybe a little bit younger and less experienced, I might get a little bit more opportunity. But at the same time, I think it's so valuable to be around good people and people that have been in this game for a long time. And it's pretty much like anything. It's you know, I got to put the work in and do that. But at the same time, it's a lot of connections and networking in this game and opportunity and, you know, no different than, you know, me getting a call to come up to this level. I just got to prove myself and work hard every day and, you know, let the cards fall where they will fall for sure. But yeah, there's definitely aspirations to be, you know, in the National Hockey League one day and, you know, to be a coach in pro hockey and make this their career.
Do you have coaching friends on other teams that you talk to on a fairly regular basis and share stories and circumstances and compare notes? Or are you mostly just with Mark and Jim and you keep it to that and you know, or you, you know, have younger other coaches that you talk to all the time?
Yeah, I think it's for sure. I think, yeah, I know lots of guys throughout the league now just, you know, being in year four. But, you know, I'm finding that at my age, a lot of, you know, ex-teammates of mine have found their way back into the game, whether it be skills coach or goaltending coach. A lot of my coaches that when I played are still involved in hockey, whether it be the CHL, the NHL, American League. So, yeah, I'm a very social guy and like to, you know, keep contact with a lot of, you know, the friends throughout the leagues. And, I think one of the most important things is just the NHL coaches clinic that gets put on every year. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough now to go the three past years to Nashville, to Vegas, to Toronto last year, and that's an important weekend just to network, just to connect with, you know, people you haven't seen in a while, kind of touch base with teams that are or coaches, sorry, that are coaching, you know, whether it be in the American League, Ontario League, Quebec League, and just kind of network and see where everybody's at and, you know, prick everybody's brain. And the one thing that's, you know, good about hockey people is we're all, you know, we're all in this for the same common goal, and everybody seems, you know, willing to help each other out, whether it be you needed an interview here or you needed a phone number of a coach, NHL, if you wanted to pick his brain there. The coaching role, for how big it is, it's, you know, it is still crazy how small it is too. It's, you know, you can touch a lot of the leagues in a few texts, and especially now with cell phones and social media, you can stay up to track with, you know, most of these coaches and how their years are going. But I think it's really important to network and just to keep the communication open, because at the end of the day, you never know, you know, when somebody is going to need a coach, you know, if somebody's lost somebody or, you know, you're out of a job and you're not re-signing. I think it's important to, you know, have those connections throughout hockey. But it also goes back to, you know, talking with previous coaches that have, you know, coached me that are now coaching, and, you know, pick their brains on, you know, if we're going through a slump or maybe there's a situation that, you know, I don't want to talk to Mark and Jim about, and I want to ask somebody else about. And I think that's important. You know, Mark and Jim, they have their guys that, you know, they bounce stuff off of all the time and talk to on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm starting to, you know, create that little book for myself and some coaches around the league and at higher levels that I trust their opinions on and like to bounce stuff off of. So I think that, you know, that coaching clinic is huge to, you know, touch base, especially at the end of the year when everyone's kind of in a relaxed mode and, you know, getting the juice flowing for the following season. But it's good to stay in touch with everybody.
Years ago, there was the head coach and there were assistant coaches. And then somewhere along the line, there became associate coaches. And you've already said you want to become an associate coach and then head coach because you think that's the natural progression. So here's the question then. What is the difference between an associate coach and an assistant coach?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't fully tell you just because, you know, my time here, especially, you know, with Mark and Jim and Josh previously, Josh was associate, I was assistant, and now with Jim as an associate. I don't know. I don't know what a normal team looks like when it's, you know, the GM just does the GM gig and the head coach and then two assistants. So I couldn't fully tell you truthfully of probably what it's like. I can, you know, obviously have some imagination on what it would be like on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, for us, you know, Mark being able to handle both sides of things on the GM and head coach side, you know, I think, you know, adds more onto the associate side of things, just with more of the, whether it be the game day review, whether it be, you know, prep, video, more one-on-one meetings, more of a coaching aspect. As to where if you had two younger assistants like myself kind of handling the billets and travel and school and, you know, the stuff that maybe, you know, people don't think about when it comes to coaching and junior hockey. But, I couldn't really tell you what it looks like, because all I know is Mark to have two titles and have associate above me. So all I know is that it doesn't, from my experience, it, you know, both Mark and whether it was Josh or Jim, it's nonstop work and on that computer and cutting and dicing up clips and lots of meetings. So I know there's definitely a lot more coaching duties, you know, at the associate level than, you know, would be on the assistant side of things.
Other than the wins, what is the most rewarding part of the job? And on the other side, what's the most challenging part of the job?
I would say some of the more rewarding things for me, honestly, are the stuff off ice. I, you know, you look at, you know, our group right now, we got, you know, some young men that are from Russia, from Ukraine, and to bring them over and, you know, see them get accustomed to, you know, Canadian lifestyle and see them make friends, you know, with our group and with fans and, you know, fit into a billet house and, you know, come to the rink every day with a smile on their face. I think that's a huge win, especially you look at, like I said, Russia and Ukraine and what's going on in this world. And, you know, if we can be a positive kind of outlet for these kids. You know, obviously none of us can imagine what's going through their heads when they, you know, call home and talk to their families. And, you know, if I can make sure that, you know, the 3-4 hours they're at the rink a day, they can forget about, you know, probably what's going on back home with the wars and stuff. I think those are huge. Just to see the kids come here, you never know what to expect. You look at Arseny's journey last year of coming over at 16, not speaking a lick of English, you know, and now he looks like a full-blown Canadian kid, hockey kid, walking around the rink. And, you know, it's been really cool for Yak and for Levy to come over. And, you know, Levy's been in Canada for a few years, but, you know, be a part of, you know, our group. I think those are huge wins. I think they're huge wins. You know, there's so much to hockey and there's so much that these kids are, you know, put under pressure on, you know, the hockey side of things and producing and being successful. And, you know, if a kid, you know, has got a good score in math, if he's got his driver's license finally, if he's bought himself a car, and I think those little wins are fun to see. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, this is about developing, you know, good hockey players. I think it's so much more important, too, to develop good people that, you know, we can put into our community and show, you know, respect to everybody and just grow good men at the end of the day. So those are honestly the things I look forward to the most is, you know, watching kids grow off the ice more than on the ice. Obviously, yes, the wins are good and the stats and, you know, being drafted and those things. But I think, you know, just making these kids, you know, understand that, you know, it's all part of growing up, coming to junior hockey, and just the little wins on the day-to-day basis that they get, I think is really cool to see in my position. And probably the worst thing to do is, and I would say most coaches will say this, to send a kid home is to cut kids. It's, you know, you got 15 to 20-year-old kids at camp and you're, you know, you're crushing some kids' dreams. And, you know, whether they're here for 3 days of camp or they're here for the first 3 weeks, it doesn't matter. Sending a kid home is ultimately the worst thing for sure. And, you know, it's unfortunately part of the job and we all got to do it. And, you know, we've all gone through it too. We've all been cut from a team or sent home. And, you know, there's no worse feeling in the world at that time, but it, to see the kids come back and make the team, you know, the following year or whatever happens, it's a call up, you know, it's rewarding. But yeah, sending the kid home is nothing nobody wants to do.
All right. And I know you talked about how busy it is. I know you have a meeting coming up. Any final word you'd like to say to the Prince George Cougar fans as we sign off this podcast?
No. Just thanks for support. I'm hoping that, you know, what we've built over here the last 3 years with, you know, the fans coming back and our, you know, average attendance is crawling and the team record. I hope this year that everybody, you know, enjoys the product that's on the ice and, you know, enjoys what we're trying to do and accomplish here in the community with the PG Cougars. So continue to support and for sure we'll love to, you know, catch up. Like I said, I'm pretty social. So if you see any of us out and about, by all means, come say hi, pick our brains. You know, we want to be as much of this community as the players do too. So appreciate the support.
And appreciate your time. All the best, Carter.
Okay, thanks, Hartley.
You bet. Carter Rigby is an assistant coach with the Prince George Cougars. You have been listening to the Cougars CatScan podcast. Have a great one.